Let's turn to the book of Luke and chapter 18. The book of Luke and chapter 18. Now, these are stories that you are very familiar with. You have read a number of times. Let me just read a few briefly. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then they also brought infants to him, that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. And assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Let me read verse 35. "Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, 'What do you want me to do for you?' He said, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' Then he said to him, 'Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God." Chapter 19, verse 1. "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' And so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has come to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm going to contrast two rich people this morning. One was very rich, and the other one was rich. That's what the Bible tells us. Now, we are familiar with the Bible is the unfolding drama of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come to the book of Luke, we know we are in that part of the Bible, which is the Gospels. And the Gospels are about the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever you are going to conclude from the book of Luke, remember the book is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation of mankind depends on our Lord Jesus Christ. Even when Israel rejected Christ, you know, the Gentiles come in into the kingdom, you know, of God. And this letter was written to Theophilus, who was a Gentile, a very respected, you know, man. And Luke's, you know, message is coming out to say that forgiveness of sin is in Jesus, you know, name. The issue of forgiveness of sin is quite big in the book of Luke. And we know that that forgiveness can only take place in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just read a few, you know, verses, you know, to do with that. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 77, at the very beginning, you have this: to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Forgiveness of sin is in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. In Luke chapter 24, if you look at Luke chapter 24, and if you read with me, verse 47, and while he was still, Luke 24 and verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. What I'm trying to say here is that from the very beginning of the book of Luke, there is this focus about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the one who can forgive man sin. He is the one who can deal with the problem, you know, of sin. So now, as we look at the contrast that I want to bring out, let me first of all just tell you a little bit about, you know, the way these stories have been arranged. It's not by accident that you have these stories in the book of Luke, where it's calling upon the people that unless you are humble, you are not going to see the kingdom of God. If somebody has put it this way, the smaller that you are, the closer you get to Christ. You look at the Pharisee and the tax collector. You know, the Pharisee played very big. You know, he trusted in himself. He was very self, you know, righteous. He was a religious man. He exalted himself. He thought he was better than the publican. But look at the tax collector. The tax collector, he made himself very, very small. He did not trust in himself. He only trusted in God's mercy. He knew very well that he was a sinner, and he admitted that he was a sinner. And he was not self-righteous at all. He was not even religious, but he was a humble man. So he made himself small. And you know, the smaller you are, the closer you get to Christ. And then the story of the children. The children display a simple faith and dependence on others. Dependence on their parents. They display a humility. And the Lord says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter the kingdom of God. It's not so much to do with the size of the children, but it is the humility that is being advocated here. That the smaller you are, the closer you get to Christ. And then you come to the rich ruler. He played very, very big. He knew the commandments. He was very, you know, religious. He never made himself small. And you know, as a proud man, he never entered the kingdom of God. And then you have the blind beggar. He also made himself small. And the Lord was able to help him. And then you come to Zacchaeus. He played small. He was a humble man. And so you can summarize all these stories. That if you are humble and you are able to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you will enter the kingdom of God. Let us look at just two of these stories. One of the rich ruler and the other of Zacchaeus. Those are the two that we want to contrast, you know, this morning. So you come to Luke chapter 18, verses 18 to 23 is about the rich young ruler. If you can focus on that passage and follow it very closely. The Bible says that this man was religious. And he kept the commandments. But I want you to observe, if you look at Exodus chapter 20, observe the type of commandments that he kept. Exodus and chapter 20. Right, in Exodus 20, that's where we read about, you know, these particular commandments that I want you to pay attention to. So in Exodus 20, you find that the commandments that he basically paid attention to were, you know, like the, well, I would say like the last four. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. They are basically the second part of the Ten Commandments. And for him, the first part of the commandments, which talk about, you shall have no other gods before me. He didn't talk about that. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. He didn't talk about that. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. He didn't talk about that. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. He didn't deal with that at all. What he concerned himself were the commandments, as it were, on the second tablet. The Lord was trying to tell him that it's not just a matter of how you relate to other people, because a lot of those commandments that he was dealing with are in relation to other people. But the Lord takes him to the point that you go and sell everything that you have and give to the poor. What is he saying? He's saying, look at the first commandments. Look at the first commandments, which is something to do with you and your God. Is there something here which is an idol? Is there something that takes the place of God? The Bible says, you shall have no other gods before me. Are the riches that you have another god in your life? Have you made these
as carved images that you worship? You are worshiping the Lord your God in vain. And so when he was challenged about what he had to go and sell and give to the poor, the man walked away. His riches took the place of God in his life. And the Bible says he was very rich. You read that in verse 23. He did not make himself small. He was a proud man. He could not humble himself before Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was right in front of him. And the Lord told him exactly what he must do in order to come into the kingdom of God. And he did not believe the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not believe the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He did not believe God's words. Now, if you don't believe God's word, how can you be saved? How can you enter the kingdom of God? This man simply rejected Christ right in front of him. I wonder what is more important in your life today. Only you know it. Your parents may not know. Your children may not know. But you know exactly what you treasure, you know, the most in your life. I wonder whether you believe what Christ says in his words. You know, the Lord says, unless you repent, you're going to perish. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands men everywhere to repent. It is a command to repent. It is not an option extra. It is a command to repent. Unless you repent, you will perish. And some of you will argue in your hearts and say, oh, I'm not the only one. Even if I go to hell, there are many other friends that are going there. There are so many non-Christians in the world. I will join my friends and will have a nice time in hell. You don't know what you are talking about. Unless you repent, you will perish. And then we have the story of Zacchaeus. A contrast to the other man. Now notice that both of them were rich. The Bible tells us that Zacchaeus was a rich man. Zacchaeus was not religious at all. He was known publicly that he was a sinner. You know, as a chief tax collector, he was one who was hated, you know, by the Jews because he represented the Roman, you know, government, collecting tax sometimes more than what they were supposed to collect. And he was a chief tax collector. He was not just a tax collector, but a chief tax collector. And supporting the colonial masters over the Jews. And he was known as a sinner. Publicly, he was a sinner. Now Zacchaeus wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter 19 and verse 2 and 3. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd. For he was of short stature. Now, I want you to notice the determination that was in Zacchaeus so that he could see the Lord Jesus Christ. In that determination, you see the humility of Zacchaeus. Here is a rich man. Here is a chief tax collector. He is willing to climb a tree so that he can see, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. He did everything under the sun to make sure that he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ welcomed him And Zacchaeus welcomed the Lord Jesus Christ in his house, the Bible says, joyfully. Look at verse 6. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when he saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus received the Lord Jesus Christ joyfully. Zacchaeus also was able to make a confession. Look at verse 8. Then Zacchaeus said, said to the Lord, Lord, look, I give half of my goods to a poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore, fourfold. He made his confession before the Lord. And the Lord tells Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Contrast these two men. There may be some of us who live in the capital here who have made our money. We have 10 and 20 houses, and we've basically become rich compared to many other Zambians living in the shanty compounds of Lusaka. And there are people who think that because of the riches that they have, they just can't come into church. The church is for the poor people. The church is for those who don't have any houses. It is for those, who live in the deprived areas of the city. I have made it in life. I have got what I needed, and therefore I cannot step in the church. I have all that I need. It may not just be in the city of Lusaka, but you'll find that there are many people in the world today. In the UK you have people who say, oh, we are past Christian, age. We're no longer in that Christian age, as it were. It was for the past. Not now. We are so knowledgeable. We are so scientific. We have got this and the other. We have everything that we need. For the poor, yes, the missionaries can go to Zambia. The missionaries can go to, Africa and so on. But for us, we have everything that we need, and therefore we don't need God. There is an attitude of having idols. And idols may not just be riches. Idols come in different forms. And each one of us will know the very thing that is preventing you to coming to become a child of God, to becoming a Christian. There's something that may be holding you back. For this rich young ruler, it was riches. But it may not just be riches that may be holding you back. There may be something that you cherish the most in life, and you don't want to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. The smaller you are, the easier you can get to know, the closer you get to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you humble yourself, see, the biggest example that we have concerning humility is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Creator. He is in charge of the glories of heaven. He is eternal. And he humbled himself to be born in the likeness of men. He was mistreated by his creatures, and he was crucified on the cross by the people that he made. And the Lord obeyed his Father to the end. He died on the cross, the death of a criminal. That is humility. How can you hold on just because you have 10 houses, therefore you can't become a Christian? It doesn't make sense. And the moment you die, whose houses will those be? You may write even a will, but you know, there are people in Zambia who ignore the will. They will tell the widow, you go and collect the money. Once you've collected it, then we'll know how to deal with you. Right? Why should a worldly good hold you back to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ? Zacchaeus is a good example that even though you may be rich, you can still humble yourself and make the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life. Right? There's nothing wrong with becoming rich as long as you are humble enough to let the Lord Jesus Christ take control of your riches. Because the Lord is able to use that for the proclamation of the kingdom, you know, of God. The Bible makes it very clear in here that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save that which was lost. He didn't come for the righteous. He didn't come for those who think they are right. He came for those who are sinners, who admit that they are wrong, and he is able to save, you know, such people. And I wonder whether if you were able to stand up here today, you can be able to say, this is the day that I came in to know the Lord. I was telling you earlier on that for me, it was 1970 in October, just around here, that I surrendered my life, you know, to the Lord. And I've never looked, you know, back, you know, since that particular time. Yes, we have challenges in Christian life. We have challenges in life. But the greatest thing in life is to know Christ as your personal Savior. Make sure that you are right before God so that your eternity is secure. Don't be cheated that the world is just about amassing wealth. Go anywhere in the world. Unless you repent, you will perish. No matter how much you might accumulate in this world, it will end up to nothing at the moment that you die. And therefore, you must humble, you know, yourself. You must humble yourself. Are you listening, children? You must humble yourselves. You may be small, but it's not the size we are talking about. We are talking about the humility. Your parents may know the Lord, and you don't become a child of God because your parents are children of God. You have to repent on your own so that you can come to know the Lord in a very personal way. And the Lord does save his people, you know, from their sins as long as they humble themselves. And that is how we see this a passage of scripture in Luke chapter 18. The Lord has deliberately arranged the stories in such a way that he can bring out the issue of humility. So when you are doing your Bible study, when you are doing your study of God's word at any time, observe how things have been arranged in scripture. God has a particular purpose why he arranges them in that way. Because he wants to bring forth that lesson. The Lord Jesus Christ was telling these people that unless you humble yourself and accept me, you will perish. You will perish. So I hope you'll be able to learn something from the rich young ruler and Zacchaeus and be able to treasure that and not be a proud person, but humble yourself and accept Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Let's just pray briefly. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks for what Christ has done for us. We pray that we may humble ourselves and let him take control of our lives. And help us, O Lord, to make him take the first place in our lives and not anything else in this world. For this we pray and we ask in Christ's name. Amen.